Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius." This is God's word. In Jesus' name, each of you knows the market. You have been born into it, and you participate in it daily. In the market, goods and services are bought and sold. Winners survive, and losers perish. The market makes affluence possible. But there can be inequalities, both within the same economy and between economies. The economic reality of the market, since we know it so well, has been extended to include other areas of life, probably all areas of life. This is how we think. The philosophies of civilization melt away before the power of the market. And even religions like Christianity are now part of the marketplace of ideas. They have to make their case. It's just one option among many. In this way of looking at things, Christianity needs to compete, or else it will die. I'm not so sure that that actually is sensitive to the reality of Christianity, nor is this threat of failure and extinction paying attention and alive to the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and the promises that he makes, which are the very basis for the church's life and for her hope, for her future, and our own faith too. In today's gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 20, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and Holy Week. And so are we. As a congregation, we are moving in this direction. Today we are approximately 70 days or so away from the Easter joy. And as we make our countdown to the beginning of Lent, which will be middle of next month, Ash Wednesday, in the 40-day season of Lent, we hear Jesus teaching about the gracious character of God and life in his kingdom. In fact, what you have been born into through water and the word of the gospel is sometimes simply called the kingdom of grace. That's where you are. That's where God has planted you. That's where you thrive, by receiving mercy, forgiveness of sins, all by grace alone. Jesus' parable starts in the market, the marketplace. The owner rises early, before anybody else. He arises early in the day to call laborers into his vineyard for work and for the fullness of life. The slave, he's calling these day laborers, they don't have a connection with anybody. The slave definitely has a connection. It's very strong. He wakes up every morning. His day is defined for him before he even takes a breath. And his life is already laid out in front of him. But these day laborers wake up needing an unexpected, undeserved word to invite them to come and work for a fruitful day. The owner's vineyard abuts right up next to the marketplace there, but it is a strange vineyard. It extends beyond the horizon, beyond what we can see, out into the countryside, out even into the wilderness, where nothing grows, but this vineyard is fruitful, where nobody would live, but there even workers are found, where nothing is bought or sold. The vineyard is a place for work with a goal. in which prayer is constantly employed. It is a place of life and growth, not competition and choice. This vineyard is an amazing place because the vineyard owner, the sun belongs to him too. The rain that falls belongs to him too. The soil he holds in his hand, he grants the richness of growth. Competition and choice, though, that is what our life in the church has become often. 75 minutes of the divine service or 45 minutes for Bible class or Sunday school competes with many other choices that are available, even to many of our own families and members. As a pastor, and this is a heartbreak, becoming increasingly aware about the marriages of our members, how the spirit that animates these marriages is not gift or vow or a calling, but it's kind of like the marketplace. It's choice. It's self-fulfillment. It's here today, gone tomorrow. Even in the marketplace, we would prefer leisure to work. Just think in your own mind, isn't that kind of the default mindset that we often adopt? Leisure is where my life needs to be found. Work is kind of an extra. Jesus once said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God," they're not working at all, "who hear the word of God and keep it." He did not say, "Deserving are those who hear and keep God's word of invitation." The point of Jesus' parable today is that God's grace does everything from beginning to end. Before even that first laborer entered the vineyard and started his God-given work, the owner himself, did you notice? The owner himself was busy at work. He went out, rising early in the morning to call the workers right where they were. In fact, they were not working. They did not deserve the title of worker at that precise moment. Rather, his call came to them. His invitation changed everything. His word and his invitation is what made them what they weren't before, workers, and gave them to do something that they could not take on for themselves, namely to work in his vineyard. And then all the fruit that followed likewise flows from his blessing. It's not only his vineyard, it's his sun, it's his rain, it's his soil, all of it. You know, the beginning of the relationship determines everything that goes forward and the very end of it. How did this relationship begin? It commenced by the gracious invitation, that verbal word, of the owner to these men, "Come be workers. Come into my vineyard. Come experience that work which is fullness." It's interesting, in Jesus' parable, none of the details are given of the work that was done over the course of the day. Just the beginning and the end are given to us. The first hired, who were also the last paid, were not lacking in anything. They did not want for payment. The master gave to them exactly what had been agreed upon based on his word, and what he gave to each of the other workers as well. So think on your own life. What lack do you have? For what are you really in want? God himself provides for both body and soul. In the intro we chanted, "You have equipped me with strength." I didn't give it to myself. "And you have made my way blameless, so that my soul can stand before you." Our Christian faith is not simply part of our life, a choice. It's more like what the angel tells Peter to encourage him to keep on preaching when he says, "Continue preaching the words of this new life." Our life is not defined by the choices we make as consumers or the things that we buy, but by simply a word, God's gracious invitation to us to receive the new life and to live it out in his kingdom, his vineyard. God's kingdom is not a, it's called the kingdom of grace. It is not a place for calculating. It is a place for hearing with faith toward God, and it is a place for working, not just working, sacrificing for our neighbor beside us. In God's kingdom, it does not work like the market. In the market, the first is first and the last is last. But in God's kingdom, it does not go that way, thankfully. In His kingdom, that wonderful kingdom of grace, which you have been born to through your baptism, the first are last, the last are first, and everyone, no one is excluded. All who believe and are baptized will be saved. That is God's kingdom of grace right there in that very word. You know, at the end of the day, the first hired and last paid began to let their eyes fall off of the master in whose vineyard they had toiled with such wonderful success by his blessing. And their eyes started to go toward the worker beside them who maybe came at the 11th hour. They've forgotten where they themselves had started the day. There is no inequality whatsoever with grace, either in its beginning or its end. However, that which grace is able to effect in one worker versus another person might look a little different. Our justification by grace, the beginning of our life before God, and our glorification that He bestows on us as a gift at the very end for Christ's sake, is both based on God's word and on Christ's sacrifice. And there is no inequality here. Though that sanctification which God works in us in the meantime, in the in-between time, which does take place in every single believer justified by God's grace, does look a little bit different from one person to the next. It is the same character as far as holiness, but then we have different vocations, we have different areas of responsibility in the church, we have different opportunities presented us to work in God's vineyard. You know, the marketplace, which emphasizes want and tries to calculate and mechanically fill up that want, is quite a bit different than God's kingdom, which is based on His fullness, from which we have all received grace upon grace. God does use the market in this fallen world to help us support this body and life, and for that we give thanks. But you have received a call into the very vineyard of God, in which fruitfulness abounds because of His blessing. The same God who called you to faith in His beloved Son, who called you to work in His kingdom and vineyard through your various vocations, He has also invited you to the wedding feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. That marketplace will one day turn to dust. But may the work that God lays before you in His kingdom, and in which you toil, seeking His blessing and the fruitfulness that comes only from Him, may that continue to abound and grow, not only as individuals within your families, but also together, a congregation. We've received our work laid down in front of us. So may that work that God lays before us in His vineyard be like those 7 years that Jacob had to work additionally for his wife Rachel. How does the text put it? Those 7 years seemed but a few days because of the love that he had for her. God's love, His grace, limitless, unbounded, creates a responding love in us that's eager to serve Him in thankfulness and fruitful labor, a love and a work that does not want, that does not calculate, but rather listens, trusts, prays, rejoices, and lives by God's grace alone. Amen.